All right, let's pick it back up. We're in section 5. We finished section 4, the warfare of the devil, and now we're looking in section 5, the goals of the devil. What are his goals? What is he out for? What does he want? Look in Luke chapter 4. Yeah, Luke chapter 4. Well, that's what it'll tell you. He wants to help you just like the government does. All you have to do is submit and he'll help. Amen. See? Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Luke 4, verse 5. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, Jesus Christ, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. Who's that talking? The devil. What does he own? The world. He's the god of this world, right? And he says, I can give you all of it you want. Preacher, I don't understand. I'm saved, and now things aren't going right with me in the world. Well, guess what? Who's the god of this world? Okay? Then what does he tell Jesus? Verse 7. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. You want fame and fortune and power and all that goes along with it? Submit to the devil, and you could have it. What does he want? He wants worship. That's what he wants. He wants worship. What's that? Right. God made the earth. And God made the original world of Adam and Eve. But when they fell, it's a fallen world. Who got them to fall? The devil. So who's running the show? See? The devil. And that's where you got to keep the difference there between the earth and the world. And it was Steve I was just showing that to. And that's a deep one, but I showed him how you could tell that the world and the earth are different. And I wrote both words down on a piece of paper and I said, now you see, they're spelled different. Sometimes you have to go deep into theological things to come up with wonderful truths. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. That's a good warning. You think those kind of verses being in the Bible would stop people from getting deceived, wouldn't you? But it doesn't. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come. He's talking about the rapture and the tribulation. Except there come a great awakening and revival in the last days where they're speaking in tongues and they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. No. That ain't what's going on. There's a great falling away first. See? Apostasy. Falling away from the truth. Falling away from righteousness. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's the Antichrist. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. What does he want? Worship. See? That's what he's striving for. That's what he desires. Why? Well, the second point, the goals of the devil, he wants to be God. What does a God get? Worship. He wants to be God, so what does he want? Worship. See? That's That's how that thing works. Look there in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? How'd you fall, devil? That's the question. How'd you fall? What happened? Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will, there's the first problem. I will, notice that I will shows up five times, the number of death. I will has five letters, the number of death. Devil has five letters, the number of death. Satan has five letters, the number of death. Death, 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 death. Chapter 14, 1 plus 4, 5. Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will ascend also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The devil wants to be God. Period. Say, what's all this about? There's a fight going on for who's in charge. You already knew that, though, didn't you? You watch the news? What's the news about? Who's in charge? Who's running who, and who's trying to get on top, and who's on bottom trying to get up, and who's on the top that went down? And that's what it's all about. See? And that thing goes all the way back to the beginning. See? Who's number one? Number one. We're number one. Our team. We won. We lost. You lost. It's all it's about. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you can have, women's professional basketball now. Amen. Where's your wife? Oh, she's out on tour with the basketball team. That's normal today. Okay. Where's your wife? She's in Iraq. She's in the Marines. That's normal today. See, we've come a long way. We're evolving. We're getting better. That's what the world thinks. That's the difference between the world and the child of God. See? And I ain't getting along with them, and I don't intend to. Don't have any plans to. So I don't care. See? Who do you want to please? So that comes to. So he wants to be God. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That's one of his names. We looked at that when we looked at the names of the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. All right, what's a minister supposed to do? It's going to tell you right here, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, see that G, God, but it's a small G, not capital G, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Who's the God, little g, of this world? It's the devil, you see. He's gotten some of what he wants. He wanted to be a god. So now he gets to be the god of that world system out there. If you love that world system out there, you know who you love? That's why the Bible says, even if you're a Christian, if you love the world, you're the enemy of God. See? Because it's his. That's his domain. Ours is heaven. Ours is church. Ours is home. It ain't the world. And we're just praying, Lord, get us out of this junk pile down here. Can you imagine if this was all the hope you had? Well, we're making great progress at Kennedy Space Center, and we're hoping someday soon to be able to do a manned flight to Mars. Okay, then what? You know what they're telling them is eventually, we're going to be able to get you to heaven. Why do they keep desiring to go up there like that? What is that desire? Let us make us a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. That's the world. We're going to get to heaven our way instead of God's way. And you build and you build, and it doesn't matter if they don't look alike, because what's good for you is good for me, and what's good for me is good for you. And we can agree to disagree, and that's fine, as long as we're all building kind of in the same direction. Which direction is that? Well, whatever direction is best for you. After all, it's all relative. Now, you go to enough college, that's how you'll think for the rest of your life. Amen. That's where we're at. That's the world today. All right, look in John chapter 10. Goal number 3 of the devil is to do whatever it takes to achieve the first two goals. You know, we read that verse about the devil being our adversary, our enemy. You understand why, don't you? Because God is the devil's enemy. They're both enemies with each other, right? So if you're on God's side, then you're automatically the devil's enemy. So of course he's out to nail you. Of course he's out to destroy your life. Now you can think that, well, I won't fight and he'll leave me alone. No, he'll still mess with you. He'll just do it quieter. You won't notice it as much because he can keep you blind. John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. You ever see a destroyed family? You ever see a destroyed life? You ever see a destroyed church? You ever see somebody robbed and stolen from of their joy and their happiness and their love? He's a thief. He's a robber. See? And he hasn't changed his methods and never will need to. What's he doing stealing and robbing? He wants to be God. And you, here you are, you're serving God, you've got joy. Well, he can't have that. You keep walking around here with joy that you're a Christian, you're going to make other people think that maybe they need to be a Christian. He doesn't want other people turning away. And if you're trying to get people turned away from him, he don't appreciate that. Amen. You don't appreciate that a bit. So you just need to make up your mind whose side you're on. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he wants to do with your life. That's what he wants to do with your family. That's what he wants to do with your job. That's what he wants to do with your health. That's what he wants to do with your wealth. That's what he wants to do with everything in your life. He wants to steal it. He wants to destroy it. He wants to kill it. Nothing would make him happier. But you don't have to make him happy. Nothing in the Bible that says you're supposed to try and make the devil happy. Amen. All things were made for thy pleasure. We're to make God happy. I'd rather put a smile on his face than the devil's any day of the week. Amen. That's what it's all about now. All right, so the devil has an end. Thank God. The fight is not eternal. Isn't that wonderful? The fight is in this life, but it's not eternal. There's coming a day when the fight's over, when the battle's done, when we can lay our armor down. It's not now, but there is a day coming. Look at there, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Look with me, please, in verse 41. Matthew 25, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. What was hell prepared for? It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And they are going there. Amen? They are going there. Thank God. Thank God the devil does have an end. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. The great epistle in the Bible that proves that men are to make the coffee. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus Christ, God, he became flesh. He took part of flesh and blood like us. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is, who? The devil. He has an end. He will be destroyed. Thank God. Look in Revelation 20. Let's read about it. One of my favorite portions of Scripture. I look forward to the day when the devil is no more. I've seen enough pain and sorrow and anguish and broken lives and broken families and sick people and everything else to know it's going to be nice when the devil's gone. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. That's the millennium. Millennial reign of Christ on the earth. The devil will be bound for 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. So, preacher, why do you think it's 1,000-year period? Because the Bible says 1,000 years. It's deep. I'm just a Bible believer. I believe what it says. That's all. Yeah, not that difficult. Just believe what the Bible says. And so there's 1,000-year period where the devil will be bound. And then what will happen? Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them. Last time he shows up, what's he doing? Deceiving. He hasn't changed a bit. He hasn't changed a bit. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So no matter what a Jehovah Witness says, it ain't no instantaneous death and that's over and that's it. When the devil goes like a fire, he is burning and he is tormented for eternity. God will have the last laugh on this thing. So relax. It's all going to work out just fine. All right, that's what the Lord's telling you there. Amen. There's only going to be one God. And we know who He is. And when the devil came up against Him, he assumed his fate. Right there. Because when God shows up to show He's God, He can show it. And He's going to take that old dragon, and He's going to put him in a lake of fire, and He's going to burn for eternity in a lake of fire. Could I just say that a few more times? I like saying it. I enjoy hearing myself say it. The devil is going to burn in a lake of fire for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful news? That's wonderful. I like that. Now, the devil, unlike God, continues to wear out. He continues to weaken. So before we're through this evening, let's look at this subject on the devil. And what you're going to see is, throughout the 6,000 years of human history, beginning with the devil starting the whole thing off with the problems, you're going to see the devil falling from where he originally was. And it's a great fall that he faces. Look with me in Ezekiel chapter 28. Back in the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 28. Yes, sure.
Does the devil not know what the book says?
Oh, absolutely. I preached a message on that. We had somebody ask that question. We have a little box back there, and it's Bible Answers to Bible Questions. And I have a series on Bible Answers to Bible Questions. And in that series, there was that very question. If the devil knows his fate, if he knows that he's going to a lake of fire, and he's aware of it, why does he still do it? Why is he still at it? And there's three basic reasons for it. It's the same reasons that somebody that knows they're going to hell doesn't get saved. It's the same reason that somebody that's a Christian knows there's a judgment seat of Christ, but doesn't serve Christ. See? Number one, no fear. Job 41 says he's made without fear. And we'll look at that. All right? Not only does he not have... So he doesn't fear the lake of fire. It doesn't bother him. He has no shame. The devil's not ashamed of anything he does. And there's another reason, and it isn't coming to me right now. But there is another one. Yeah, absolutely. Right. But there's no shame. There's no fear. Yeah. And one other thing I can't think of right now. If it comes to me, I'll let you know. All right. But look there in Ezekiel 28. You see people today, they run around with T-shirts, no fear, you know. Well, that's stupid. Let me introduce you to a few black mambas I know. See how long you don't have fear. I see about those numbskulls. I get the emails with the wave videos, you know, with the smart guy who thought he could jump his bicycle from one roof to another. You know, I see those things. I see the people that are dying from doing that kind of stuff. No fear, bam! Yeah, I know. Moron. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now what you're going to find out real quick is this ain't the king of Tyrus. It's somebody in the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, that's the king of Tyrus, is it? Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That's king of Tyrus? I don't think so. Who was in Eden? Adam, Eve, and who else? Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He was prepared to worship God through music. So be careful with music. Thou art the anointed cherub. You know what the word anointed means? It's where we get the word Messiah or Christ. He's another Christ. He's the Antichrist. See? Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, They have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. He's going down. That's what God said. He started at the top. He's one of the cherubim. He was the fifth cherub that covered. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. He was top in line behind God and forgot his place. See? And when he did, God said, you're going down. You're going down. So you know what happens? He's been going down ever since. He can appear before God, but he's banished from the third heaven. He's now stuck in the second heaven, the universe, which is complete darkness. You ever wonder why when God is creating, every day the Bible says, and God saw that it was good? Except for that second day when he makes the universe. It didn't say it was good. It's darkness. God divided the light from the darkness. See? The light, that's third heaven. That's where God is. On this side, it's darkness. If it wasn't for God putting that sun and that moon and them stars out there, you know how much light there'd be in this universe? It'd be complete and utter darkness. That's separation from God. See? That's separation from God. No light. Yeah, nothing but darkness. This domain, this universe, it's the devil's domain. For now. And so now he's swimming around out there between the second heaven and the third heaven in a giant wall of water called the Great Deep. Look in Job 41. Job 41, verse 1. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with an hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? No. You can't go fishing for him, man. Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Will thou take him for a servant forever? Will thou play with him as with a bird? You better not. Verse 10. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. That's something, isn't it? Look back at verse 9. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? You know what that means? If you actually saw the devil, you'd pass out. You believe that? If you saw him right now as that great red dragon up there, you'd faint with fear. That's what it says. Look at verse 9. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? Just by looking at him. Now watch this, verse 10. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Then God asks this question. Who then is able to stand before me? You ought to be scared to death of the devil. But even more, you ought to be scared to death of God. Say, if I saw the devil, what do you think is going to happen when you see God? You know why God said, you can't see me? No man will see me and live? That's what he told Moses. Our God is a consuming fire. God is so glorious and so powerful. We even got in his presence. We burn up and melt just like that. God made the sun in a second by speaking a word. You know, I mean, you got to get a hold of that. But this is a mean dude here, this devil now, no doubt about it. And he's a great red dragon. That's what he is. Verse 32, or verse 31, he maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea to shine like a pot of ointment. He maketh the path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. Answer your question. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. There he is. And so we see him now, no longer in the third heaven as an anointed cherub, but now in the second heaven as a great red dragon in the sea. Now look with me in Jude. That's the second to last book in your Bible right before Revelation, a one chapter book in your Bible, the book of Jude. I think out of all the one chapter books in the Bible, Jude has more in it. It's loaded, man. Jude's awesome. Look in Jude. Look with me in verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Okay. When Michael the archangel went to get Moses' body, that's why they could never find his body. That's why he shows up in the tribulation. That's why he shows up glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ. Moses was taken. And when Moses was taken, the devil was right there as the accuser saying, "What right have you to take him?" Blah, blah, blah. And Michael the archangel said, "I ain't got time to argue with you. The Lord rebuke you." Boom. Goes on his way. See? Michael couldn't fight the devil. You understand that? He called the Lord to take care of him. See? Because he couldn't do it on his own. He had to have the Lord help him. Because the devil is more... That's why everybody thinks the devil's an angel. No, the devil was a cherub. Where'd you get that stuff about the devil being a fallen angel from? The devil has angels. See? We looked at that. Depart from you, cursed, and everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. See? He has angels. But the devil's never an angel. An angel is a ministering spirit that can take on the form of a man. That's not the devil. The devil was a cherub. He was higher than the angels. He was numero uno. See? And according to what we're reading there, in Jude verse 9, Michael the archangel, when he went to take him on, couldn't take him. Couldn't take him. Now look in Isaiah 27. Isaiah chapter 27. And verse 1. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1. In that day, he's talking about when the Lord comes back. In that day, the Lord, with his sore and great and strong sword, shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Well, there's a promise. So, he's not going to stay on top forever. He does have an end. Look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 3. Revelation 12:3. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. What are the stars of heaven? Angels. There's his angels. And he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. What happens? Verse 7. You have Jesus Christ is born. He's caught up to God. Verse 5. And then Israel is in tribulation. Verse 6. See that? That's what you got going on there. Now look at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Which heaven? Second heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels. So now you've got Michael the archangel with the angels of God fighting against the devil, the dragon, and his angels. And what happened to the dragon and his angels? Verse 8, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. He's cast down. He's going down. You go against God, you go down. Every time. He that exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. See? You go down every time. When Jonah decided to flee from the presence of God, what happened? Jonah went down to the boat. He went down to pay the fare. And he went down to the bottom of the boat. And he went down into the sea. And he went down into the whale's belly. And he went down to the bottom of the ocean. And he went down to hell. There's only one way to go when you go against God. That's down. And that's where the devil's going. He's going down, all the way down. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. What happens to that dragon now? He becomes a man. Antichrist. Right there. He becomes a man, chapter 13. Beast rises up out of the sea. That's him. See? And that dragon comes out, he's going to get worship. And so he exalts himself against all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and he has the whole world worship him. You got to take the mark of the beast, and all the rest of that stuff comes in. He started out as a cherubim. And then he becomes a dragon. In the tribulation, he's a man. A powerful man. But now, simply, just a man. Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? He's cut down. See? Verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of congregation of the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Is he there yet? No, not yet. But he will be. They that see thee, when this thing happens, when he's finally cast down there in hell, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? This him? This is it? This is the devil that gave us all those problems? Well, what's happened to him? He's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. See? Verse 17, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house, but thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Look back there in verse 7. When a devil goes down and is put in the pit, what happens? Verse 7, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Okay? Reference to the devil being put down in the hell. Verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. Even all the chief ones of the earth, it hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? He sure has. When he finally ends up down there in hell, they say, you're weak just like we are. You're no more than anything that we are. See? That's what they see. Now, Ezekiel 28, it doesn't end there. Ezekiel 28. Verse 17. Ezekiel 28, verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. See, his soul, the devil himself, goes down the earth. The man that he's in, he's burned up at the presence of Jesus Christ when he returns at the second advent. Verse 19, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror. Never shall thou be anymore. God's pronouncing his end upon him. Right there. Now, I want you to look at something over in the book of Mark. In chapter 9 of Mark, verse 42, Jesus says, if you hurt a little child, you'd be better off with having Guido come and give you some cement shoes. Okay? Verse 42, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Thy hand offend thee, cut it off, it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm. Now look at that. Isn't that weird to say? Where their worm. That's possessive. That's your. If I said you're a worm, you know what's going to go to hell? Your worm is. I thought it was your soul. Your soul right now is bodily shape. But if you go to hell, and I don't think anybody in here is, but if somebody goes to hell, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He said, but I thought you were eternal and you're burned forever. Yeah, you do. But your soul loses its shape. It'll take on the shape of your father. The serpent. The dragon, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan. The first time the devil shows up in the Bible in Genesis chapter 3, what is he called? The serpent. Why does God call him that? He's pronouncing his end from the beginning. He's just going to be a slithering, no more arms, no more legs. See? On thy belly shalt thou go. Dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And so in the lake of fire, all you have is a bunch of red wiggling maggots writhing in the fire. That's the picture. Now, that's what Jesus Christ said. You might know better. But he said it three times. Verse 44, verse 46, verse 48. where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Okay. Remember what Jesus said on the cross over there in Psalm 22? Did you ever read it? I am a worm and no man. Where'd Jesus have to go? What'd Jesus have to do? Become sin? I don't understand all that, but it's something. See? The devil's end is sure. The devil's end is he's going to be a writhen worm in a flame, a lake of fire for all eternity. And we're going to be living and reigning with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You need to get a hold of that and appreciate it. Might bring some joy to your life. You might come to church with a smile on your face. And have a reason for it, not be faking it. Amen? It's good to be saved, isn't it? Thank God. Thank God for Jesus Christ, man. Take an old sinner like me and Satan and give him that hope and teach him about this book. Man, I'll tell you what, that's good stuff now. Don't get any better than that. All right, let's go ahead and we'll close in a word of prayer here. Now, fathers, we've looked into these things and studied these things concerning the devil. God, we're so thankful, Lord, that he doesn't have our souls anymore. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've delivered us from those everlasting flames of eternal fire. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've made us your children and that one day we'll be like you and we'll see you as you are. Now, Lord, we know the devil's your enemy, and because of that, he's our enemy. And, Lord, you know our fight. You know what we're up against. You know the battles. You know our struggles. Lord, help us. We cannot win. Father, we cannot. We do not have the strength or the power or the ability to beat the devil. And, Lord, he's out to get us. He's out to destroy us. Father, by your grace and mercy, we beg you, give us the strength and the power to resist the devil. Give us the power, Lord, to stand for thee. Help us, Lord, not to be deceived, not to give in to his sway and his talks. May we run to thee, may we stay close to thee, and may you enable us, Lord, to get the victories, to win some battles, Lord, against this great foe that we all must face. Be with each of my brothers and sisters in this war. Help them to war a good warfare. Help them to fight the good fight of faith. Pray you'd bless as we go downtown tomorrow. Give us an open door, opportunity, Lord, to do something for you. Bless our services on Sunday, including our baptism service. God, just speak to hearts during the service this Sunday. Bless us with a good time, Lord, a good opportunity for fellowship as we have dinner on the grounds at the church this Sunday. We'll give you all the glory and the praise for it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. All right. Lord bless you.